did today and tell them you look better right now than you will in 50 years? How many know that's true? It is good to see you. It's good to be back at Grace Point. Wow, you guys look incredible. It's been a few years since I've been here, but I am so impressed by what God is doing. So welcome to Grace Point. For those that are watching online, thank you so much for being a part of our online campus, and God is up to great things. Can I take just a moment and give honor to your pastor's council and your pastoral staff? Will you put your hands together for your leadership? You folks are amazing, and I am so grateful to be able to be your overseer and to be your friend, and thank you for walking us through this transitional time. Thank you to the praise team. Wasn't that fantastic? Give the praise team a big hand. Incredible. My goodness, God is up to great things in Irving. There's also several members of my team that are here. You heard talk about Crystal a little bit. You gave her a little woo. I appreciate that. 31 years she's been putting up with me as her husband. But Crystal, stand up. We love you. Glad that you are here. Pastor Crystal serves as our women's ministries director for the Church of God in Texas. She is an author, an incredible speaker, and my best friend. And also Bishop Ernie and Michelle Reiter, our new state youth and discipleship director. You guys stand up. Glad that you're here. Bishop Ernie is incredible. My favorite, right, their son Lucas is here too. Give Lucas a big hand. But we are so glad that they are with us. And God is up to good things in Texas. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the kingdom of God is strong, and I'm delighted to get to be here today. Is anybody here today hungry for God's word? Yes. I'm talking about, is anybody just ready for God to, raise your hand if you say, I'm ready for God to speak to me. Amen. Let's do something. Let's stand for the reading of the word. Thank you to our media team. Thank you to everybody that's helping. And the message that God has laid on my heart for today is a message that's called Changing Lanes. Everybody say Changing Lanes. And I just got to be honest with you. Can I tell you the truth? I got hit on coming into church today. So y'all pray for my ego. But she said, I'm 65 years old. I'm able to say what I want to say. So thank you for that. You made me feel good about myself. If you have your Bible, say amen. Amen. If you don't, say aw, man. But it'll be on the screen. Bring your Bibles to church in Jesus' name. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. It'll be on the screen. Hebrews 13, beginning with verses 6 to 8. And the writer says this, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Raise your hand if you need the Lord to be your helper. Amen. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who've spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct to Jesus, who is the same, say it with me, yesterday, today, and forever. Would you lift up holy hands in this place? Father, we love you today, and we bless your holy name. You are a good God, and we are your people called by your name. Thank you, God, for Grace Point Church. Thank you for the difference that they're making both in Irving, around Texas, and all over the world. God, for the next few moments, I ask for your anointing to be in this house. Use me, hide me behind the cross, that I would not be seen, but that Jesus would be lifted up. God, in everything we do, we give you thanks, we give you praise. Let us join in for your will to be accomplished in this room, in this house, in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. In that verse, it says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. You know, before I came to Texas, I had the undeserved privilege to be the International Youth and Discipleship Director for the Church of God. Over 8 million members around the world in 170 or so countries. But did you know that as I've given altar calls all over the country and all over the world, the number one thing that people come to the altar for, do you know what it is? Somebody say fear. It's fear, it's anxiety, it's trepidation, it's worry, it's things that are coming against their mind. But what the Word of God says, that the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. Did you know that there are over 2,000 classified phobias in the medical encyclopedia? 2,000 phobias, and some of them you know of, and some of them maybe you've never heard of. Some fears we're familiar with, and some might be more obscure. One of them is claustrophobia. Wave at me if you know what claustrophobia is. Of course, it's the fear of restricted places. And the opposite of that is something called agoraphobia, and that's when you're afraid of being in the wide open spaces. So you're afraid in crowds. Others are afraid when it's wide open. There's all kinds of fears. If you're afraid of animals, it's zoophobia. There's one I heard of, and this is an actual thing. It's very difficult to pronounce. It's called arachibutyrophobia. Arachibutyrophobia, that is an actual medical fear. It is the phobia of peanut butter being stuck to the roof of your mouth. Don't laugh. It's a legitimate fear for somebody. If you're here today, we're going to have an altar call for you for your peanut butter phobia. I can't remember the name of it. There's literally a phobia for people that are afraid of being watched by a duck. Just stretch your hands this way because that's my phobia. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. A phobia of being watched by a duck. You know what? As ridiculous as that might seem or that might sound, some people are bound by fear. If you believe that, say amen. And this morning, I want to talk to you about another fear for a few moments before we pray. And it's a big one. And this is the fear of change. And the title this morning, I told you, it's a title called Changing Lanes. And I don't have to tell you people about traffic. Whether it's on I-35E in Dallas or I-35W in Fort Worth or I-30 or TX-190 or the Tarrant Expressway, a.k.a. TX-121 murder. We could talk about traffic all day long with Metroplex, folks. We know about traffic. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. I was born in that. I know all about it. But changing lanes, could we, heaven knows how many times my beautiful chauffeur changed lanes on the way to church. We almost died one time, but we didn't. It was a duck that was watching us, and it helped. No, I'm kidding. There are some changes that we really love, right? And there are other changes that are harder to handle, like changes when we lose a loved one, or changes when we lose our job, or changes when it comes to, like, I know this last weekend was the time that everyone drops off their kids at college. There were tears on Facebook yesterday from this encounter of change. Some changes happen, and we don't like them at all, and we resent them, right? Talk back to them. We resent them. We resist them. We try to run from them. And so the topic today is change, and how do we deal with the fears that come with change, with the anxiety that comes with change, with the just uncomfortable feelings of change. And there's no doubt that we live in a world of change. Amen? Things are constantly changing. Change is a constant companion in our fast-paced lives. Did you know that every day in America, 108,000 people move to a different home? Every day, 108,000. Crystal and I moved to a different home. Ernie and Michelle and Lucas, they moved to a different home. 18,000 people moved to a different state. 700 people moved to Florida. Every day, a ton of people leave California and come to Texas. Did you know every day in America, 167 businesses go bankrupt? Every day that change happens, 167 go bankrupt and 689 new businesses start in America. It's change. Did you know that more information has been produced in the last 30 years than has been produced in the last 5,000? More than one half of scientists that ever lived are alive today. One half of the scientists that have ever lived are alive today. When you go shopping, most of the things you buy in the shopping store today did not exist 10 years ago. 50% of college graduates are graduating into a job that did not exist when they were born. 90% of the businesses that are in place today were started in the last 25 years. I'm talking about change, and change is taking place in every field. We talked a little bit about travel. Did you know that in the travel industry, change has happened crazy? There's a picture of George Washington the media team is going to throw up. Did you know that 200 years ago, George Washington traveled from Pope's Creek, Virginia to Washington, D.C.? And did you know that it took him 10 days by horseback to get from Virginia to Washington, D.C.? And today, astronauts travel at 25,000 miles an hour. 25,000 miles an hour. That means you get from San Francisco to New York City in 8 minutes. It's crazy. talking about change. Here's the thing about change. Why does change happen? Why does it affect us like it does? One thing is this: life is moving faster. Somebody say amen. Life moves fast, and the older that I get, the faster life goes. And I hate being the same age as old people. I do hate that. But I love having grandbabies. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God for the headlights that bring them to me and for the taillights that send them back home. All the grandparents said amen. The pace of life is speeding up, though, isn't it? Progress in general causes things to go faster. It's the truth. There's a fascinating book by James Gleick. It's called Faster. And what his premise in this book is, if there's one word that defines the postmodern age that we're living in, it's a word called accelerating. Accelerating. His main premise is that we become this, and let me know if this describes you. We become very quick reflexed. Channel flipping, fast forwarding, scroll to the good part on social media. Get me to the good stuff. I don't have time for all of this. We become very much skip to the good part people, haven't we? Did you know that on July 4th, 1776, pretty important day in American history, but King George of England wrote in his diary, on July 4th, 1776, King George writes, nothing much happened today. You know why? Because it took weeks for him to discover that the colonies were in full-blown rebellion. We were dumping tea into the harbor and running around like Native Americans. I don't know why we did that, but it seemed good at the time. He said, you're not going to tax us, and we're going to go into full-blown rebellion. And there was a full-fledged American Revolution going on. And he writes, with his little wig on or whatever, that not much happened today. If it happened today, King George would hear about it instantly. Immediately, social media would light up that the colonists are in rebellion. Immediately, he'd find out on Twitter or X or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is. He'd find out that it's happening instantly because today everything moves faster, doesn't it? But because of that, we are experiencing change in real time. Not only is that happening, but life is more complicated than it used to be. Isn't life more complicated? Anybody else? Oh my goodness, even simple decisions are so complicated in our lives. Have you ever asked somebody where they want to eat? I'm going to start a restaurant when I retire called I Don't Care. I'm going to do another restaurant across town that's called Whatever You Want. We're going to make millions of dollars. Simple decisions are so complicated. One reason is because technology has connected us. We know what's happening immediately, and we know what's happening on the other side of the world. Pastor Jack told me today that the world is small, but he wouldn't want to paint it. That's pretty good. The world is small, and it's getting smaller, and things that happen on the other side of town affect you, just like things that happen on the other side of the world. They affect us because technology connects us. All life is complicated. It's more complicated than it used to be. When my grandparents went to the store to get eggs, they got eggs. There was only one kind of eggs. They were white, and they came from a chicken. You know what they did when they went for milk? Zach, they said, I want some milk, and they gave them some milk. How many milks are there now? My goodness. There is milk, and there's 2% milk, and then there's 1% milk, and then there's skim milk, and then there is milk that doesn't even come from a cow. There's almond milk and oat milk and all kinds of crazy stuff is happening. And that's just, have you ever gone and tried, I'd like some cheese? We have entire aisles for cheese. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. This is a true story. Because the real reason life is complicated sometimes is because we're inundated with multiple choices. Did you know there are over 12 varieties of Edge shaving cream? You don't believe me? Normal skin, fragrance free, tough beard, regular, which is obviously different than normal. There's skin conditioning, sensitive skin, menthol. I don't know why you would have menthol. There's medicated, there's extra moisturizing, extra protection, extra refreshing, extra soothing. Do we need 12 varieties of shaving cream from one brand? But I guarantee you we don't. But I also guarantee you that right now there's some kid who is trying to come up with a new fragrance of Edge shaving cream. Barbecue. I don't know what it will be. I don't know what it was, but somebody like, hey, that sounds good, baby. I'll try that. But why is life so complicated? I don't know, but life used to seem simpler. And there's a third thing that we're seeing that causes stress and causes fear and change. Not only is everything moving faster and not only is everything more complicated, but old values are being challenged, aren't they? The things that we used to know as right and wrong have been challenged, and right is being called wrong and wrong is being called right. And how are we to know? There are some people that say there's really no such thing as right. You just do what you want to and everything is right in your own eyes. That's how it was before the time of Judges. Values that we hold so dear in America have been challenged by political correctness. Am I talking the truth? They say it's not sin anymore. It's an alternative lifestyle. You can't call it sin. They say take down the Ten Commandments because it might offend somebody. They save the whales. Save the rainforest, save the icebergs for Pete's sake, but don't worry about the unborn child because it's not a real human being yet. Political correctness, if I can just be honest, I love everybody, I do, but political correctness has created all kinds of crazy ideas that we're raising up our children in a very odd time. We live in a society where everything is plausible and nothing is certain. How are we supposed to live in this kind of an environment? In a book called Future Shock, what the author talks about is in this topsy-turvy time when everything is changing and everything is all around us, what the author says is that you need in times like these islands of stability. Somebody say amen. Amen. When everything is flying off the wall and coming unglued and the hurricanes of change are blowing through our lives, we need to hit pause and lean in and grab hold of something that does not change. We need an island of stability. Is there anything that never, ever changes, Rob? Well, even here at Grace Point, change is afoot. And last Sunday, we were given an opportunity to celebrate the ministry of Pastor Patrick Wooten and incredible job that he has done. And maybe we could just give God praise one more time for an incredible shepherd. But even after 27 years of solid and successful ministry, even this change, and after soul searching and fasting and prayer and seeking God's will, Pastor Patrick and Sister Jody have gone after God's will in a different way. And last week we said goodbye to the Wooten family, and today a new chapter in the book called Grace Point begins. It's a new chapter. But can I just say thank God that the same author with a capital A is the same one who is writing this book. And the same God that brought Pastor Patrick here and the same God that led him after God's will, God still has you, Grace Point, in the palm of his hand. Somebody give God praise if you believe that. The author of our story is him. And this change solidifies the point that we live in a time of change and we live in a time of transition, and we know that usually change is not fun. It's not. Mark Twain says the only people who like change are wet babies. Some things change. Some things do not change. And can I just take a few moments before we pray and talk about some things that don't change? Talk about some islands of stability. Would that be okay? I would tell you this. Number one is this. God's love does not change. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. God's love does not change. Malachi 3:6, God says this, I, the Lord, do not change. There's a theological term for that. It's called the immutability of God. What that means is that he is always the same. Who he was is who he is and who he always will be. He does not change. Hallelujah. Do you know why he doesn't change? Is it because he can't? Is it because he doesn't want to? Is it because he's stuck in his ways? No. It's because God is perfect. Hallelujah. I said, because God is perfect, he says, I don't change. And this perfect, everlasting, unchanging God in Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. A love that goes from beginning to end, that never changes because there is no such thing. And you, ladies and gentlemen in this room, you were created as an object of God's love. That's who you are. Created as an object and the subject of the author's love. You were made to be loved by God. Do you know why you're here on earth? It is to be loved by God. It's to love him and be loved by him and make him known. You're here to be loved by God, created to be loved by God. And can I just tell you that his love is continuous? His love is everlasting. His love is consistent. And the Bible says it like this. God is always unchanging in his love towards us. I'm so thankful for that today. Is anybody else just thankful for the unchanging love of God? Hallelujah. And the fact that God is unchanging, that's so good news to me, because even though I'm in my life have been inconsistent, anybody else? He is so consistent. God loves us on our good days, the same way he loves us on our bad days. He loves me as I serve him. He loved me before I did. Jesus loves us so much, the Bible says that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is not based on my performance. It's based on his character. And his character is consistent. And his character is continual. And his character is everlasting. He does not change. Neither does his love. No matter what happens to you today, no matter what happens to you tomorrow, there's one thing you can depend on, is that you are loved by God. God's not going to stop loving you. No matter what you go through, no matter what you're happening, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Psalm 119 says it like this, says your love never changes. And I love Romans 8:38, such a beautiful verse. Some of you in this room can quote it, but I'm going to flip the script a little bit and go to the Message translation, because I love the way it says. And what it says is this in the Message of Romans 8:38, that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love. Somebody lift up holy hands in this place and say, I received that love for my life. Nothing thinkable or unthinkable can separate us from God's love. God's love never changes. It's something we can anchor our lives to. His love never changes. Number two is this: God's word is an island of stability, and it does not change. It's the same. Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Will you read that with me? Can you say it out loud boldly? The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It doesn't change. His word is timeless and his word is enduring and eternal. His word never withers. I brought some yellow roses home to my wife yesterday. Somebody say, aw. I did. I said, thanks for coming with me to Texas. I love you, baby. And she hugged me and said she loved me too. But there will be a day, as beautiful as those flowers are and as fragrant as those flowers are, that there'll be a day that we discard them because they lost their freshness. Amen? There'll be a day that we'll remember how beautiful they used to be, but it will have to find something new to replace them because they will wither. God's word does not change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what, it's fresh, and it's living, and it's active, and it's powerful, and it never is out of date, and it lasts forever. And Jesus said it like this: heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And this is what I want to ask you today. I want to ask you, is will you listen to his word? Will you hide his word in your heart? Will you make a decision today that tomorrow you'll know more scripture than you knew today? Will you make a commitment that by the time next month rolls around that you will have more of his word hidden in your heart? That next year you will know more word, because it's the word that becomes our bedrock. It's the word of God that we must stand on. When everything else around us is changing, it's God's word that doesn't change. So hide his word, take his heart, eat his word.
Let it be like sweet to your mouth. Let it be honey from the honeycomb. Do you know what the most basic fundamental temptation is? And you can list a lot of sins here, but that's not it. The number one most basic fundamental temptation is the same thing that faced Adam and Eve. And it's the same thing that you and I face, and it's simply the temptation to doubt God's word. Did God really say? Well, how will we know unless we feed on that word ourselves? If Satan can get you to question God's word, you'll fall for anything. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:24 that everyone who hears my word and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Somebody say rock. Jesus is saying this, if you want to have a stable home, build it on a rock. If you want to have a stable marriage, build that marriage on the, somebody say rock. Your life must be built on the rock. If you're watching online, type the words rock. Your marriage must be built on the rock. This church is built on the rock, not on talent, not on people, not on a personality, not on a pastor, but on the person of Jesus Christ. It must build on the truth of God's word because it is the bedrock and his word does not change. Listen, popular opinion is going to change. Psychology books are going to change. Politics are going to change. Social media will change. Technology will change. What talk show hosts talk about will change. There's one thing that will not change, and it's God's word. We won't add to it. We won't take away from it. We'll take it as it is because it is perfect. Somebody say amen. And if you want stability, build your life on the unchanging truth. Lastly, as Mari, if you'll come and help me close, God's purpose for your life will not change. You believe that? The third thing that we can understand and know with straight up confidence is God's purpose will not change. 1 Samuel 15:29, the prophet says this, God is not a man and he doesn't change his mind. Everybody look at me. Long before you were born, however old you are, God planned you. Wave at me if you believe that. God planned. And you might say, no, I was an accident, Pastor Rob. No, you are not. You were planned. When Crystal and I got married, I said I wanted 2 kids. She said, I want 4 kids. So we compromised and had 4 kids. She's a pretty good negotiator. And I'm so thankful for it. You know what I mean? I'm thankful for my 5 grandkids, for the 2 that are on the way, for the dozens, hopefully more, that I get. And every one of them, God has a plan for their life, just like you. And your kids and your grandkids or grandkids to come, God has a plan for your life. And that plan happened long before you were born. God had a plan for your life. That plan has not changed. He created you for a purpose, made for a reason. And if you're alive today, breathing air, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for this church. Amen? But have you noticed that your plans get changed sometimes? There's 2 reasons. One, you don't have foresight. You can't see into the future. You don't have the perspective. I talked to the council this morning about that. We don't have the crystal ball to look into. We're not infallible. None of us are. But the reason that our plans get changed is sometimes we don't have the means to pull them off. The best laid plans of mice and men go awry is what that book said. But in that book of mice and men, George and Lenny, they had this dream to own their own farm one day. These migrant workers, they were going to do it. And maybe sometimes we can relate. They never did it. Maybe we can relate. Sometimes to our plans fail because we don't have the time. Anybody else? All these things we could do if we had the time, or if we had the money, or if we had the energy, or if we had the intelligence, or we had the power to pull it off, we'd do all kinds of great things. But sometimes our plans go awry because of our inabilities. That's okay. We're not the Lord. But if we can't contrast us with God, God has never had to change his plan one time. God has never had to repent. God has never had to relent. God has never had to say that before. Why? Because God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. Amen? Because God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. God never has to change his plans. I'm closing. Everybody look at me. Can I miss God's purpose for my life? Absolutely, I can. You can miss it. You can miss it by neglect, right? You can miss it by arrogance. You can miss his purpose by disobedience. You can miss his plan by rebellion. You can miss his plan by laziness, of not doing what he's calling you to do. You can miss God's plan. In fact, we can live our entire lives on this earth. Our lives could come, and like a vapor, they're gone, and we can miss God's purpose for our lives. It's tragic to me to think about that, to not fulfill the reason we were actually put on this earth. It's a tragedy, but what I'll tell you, Grace Point, is God never forces his purpose on us. He doesn't. We have to make a choice that, Lord, you will be the leader of my life. I make Jesus Christ my Lord. Savior. That's the number one thing we can do. And when we say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, what we're actually saying is, Lord, I want you to lead me, guide me, direct me. I submit myself to you because I'm lacking resources, because I'm lacking the ability to look into the future, because I don't know everything there is to know about everything, because I'm infallible, because you are infallible. And I'm very fallible. I say, God, I trust you to lead my life. I submit my plan to your plan. I want to follow your purpose and your plan. Can I miss God's purpose? Absolutely, I can. That leads me to number two. Can I get back on track after wasting years of my life? Absolutely, I can. Somebody lift up your hand and say, absolutely, we can. You know why? Psalm 33:11 says this: his plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. That means even if I've missed it, back on track. I love that. I'm so thankful for that. I've messed up my life royally before. But God, who is loving and kind and gracious and forgiving and merciful and slow to wrath, allows me to come back in, and he picks me up and he dusts me off and I get to go again. But what about, Rob, what about the regretful things I've done? What about those things I wish had never happened in my life? Look at me. Look at me. What about those things? What about those things I'd love to go back and do over again? What about those times that I've been hurt? What about those times I've hurt others? Romans 8:28 says this: we know that in all things, somebody say all things. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know what that means? Is that when we think about the biggest disappointment in our lives, when we think about the biggest mistakes that we've ever made, when we think about the dumb things that we did, the disappointing things that we did, when we think about those things we'd love a do-over if we could, when we think about the most hurtful thing that somebody's done to us, or the hurtful thing we've done to somebody else, the biggest regret in our life, can I tell you that God, in his wisdom, though he did not cause it, has the ability to take even those things and somehow weave them into the plan he has for our lives. Isn't that beautiful? That he can take the biggest test we ever had and weave it into a testimony. He can take the biggest trial that we've ever faced and somehow weave it into the very thing that will see his name glorified. And even in the middle of our hurts, as he's healing us of our scars, can use that speak healing into somebody else. Isn't that beautiful? You stand to your feet all over the house, if you would. God loves you. God cares about you. And God will use everything in your life for his good. Even the broken pieces, if we give those pieces to God, he'll weave them together and make a masterpiece out of it. Would you lift your hands? You believe that's the kind of God that we serve? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes in this house? What is it today that you need God for? What is it that you're believing God to do? What are you afraid of? We began this message by talking about not being afraid, but what is it that maybe you're facing? What anxiety do you have? What trepidation? What fear? What's made your stomach get into a knot? What's made your throat get dry? What's caused your back muscles to tense up? Maybe you wonder, I don't know if I can handle this change or not. David was facing chains like that in Psalm 56. You know what he said? He said, I trust in God. So why should I be afraid? I love that song of Mariah that says, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. That's a God that we serve, a God that we can trust in. The truth is, none of us in this room know what the future holds. We just know who holds the future. We don't know what next year, next decade, if Jesus tarries, we don't know what tomorrow faces, but we do know three things. That we build our life on unchangeable islands of stability, that God will never stop loving us, that His word is always true, and His purposes are greater than my problems. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're here today, the last thing that would do is embarrass anybody. But if you're here today and you say, Brother Rob, there's some things in my life I need God to step in on. There's some things I'm facing and I need the Lord. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and say, that's me. That's me. God bless you. God bless your heart. This is what I want to do. I want to ask the prayer team, can you join us again, prayer team, up front? I'd love to ask Pastor Robert, Pastor Jack, Pastor Zach, all of our pastoral team to join us as well, just here. We're going to go into a time of business in a moment, but right now there's kingdom business that has to happen. And prayer team and pastoral staff, will you just stretch your hands toward this incredible congregation? Hands have gone up all over this room, and there may be some folks that need prayer, and your hand did not go up, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to just take a moment, and I'm going to ask this incredible ministry team to join us in prayer. And if you need God to touch you where you are, maybe you need a reminder of God's love, maybe you need a reminder of His purpose, His promises that are yes and amen, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and as the praise team just begins to softly worship, whatever you need, whatever caused your hand to go, whatever you're facing, whatever you need, maybe there's some things you need to get off your chest, maybe there's some sins that have to be confessed. Maybe there's just some circumstances you're facing or some fears that you need somebody to put their faith with yours. So what's going to happen is you step out of your seat. This prayer team is going to pray with you, but those at your seat, they're going to stretch their hands towards you, and nobody's judging anybody. We're just together going to pray. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, we're going to begin to worship, and you're going to get out of your seats. Get ready to come. Prayer team praying with me. Whatever reason, if you're watching online, list your prayer need in the chat if you'd like to, or just say something confidential that they'll get with you later. Get ready to come and pray. One, you're ready to come. Two, whatever you have need of, get out of your seats and come on. Three, let's pray.
If you're praying, please continue praying. That's great. How do we respond to the changes in life that are going on around us? There's three things. Number one, we accept God's love. Amen. We accept His love. We believe His word. And we commit to His purpose. Saying, God, Your purpose, not mine. Your plans, not mine. That's what we need. His love, His word, His purpose. As those who are up the front are continuing to pray, which is so great. If you're back at your seats today, one more time, I just want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're watching online and you feel that drawing of the Holy Spirit to say, this is the day to make the best decision of your life. If you're here and you say, I need Jesus to be the Savior of my life, we're not going to embarrass you. This is just a chance for you to get your heart right with God. If you're watching online or here in this room and you say, I need Jesus to be the Savior of my life, would you slip up your hand and say, I need Jesus in my life. I need Him to forgive me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hands. Anybody else that said, I need Him to forgive me? Maybe you've never accepted Him as your Savior. Can I tell you, it's so easy. It's admitting that you're lost without Him. It's believing that He is who He said that He is. He's the Son of God. That He died on a cross for our sins by the power of the Holy Spirit who is raised from the dead, and accepting Him to be your Lord. If you're watching online, if you're in this house, if you need Him, just say, God, I need You in my life. Whether this is your first time to accept Him, or maybe you followed Him at one point, but something tripped you up, something caused you to stop following. If you're here and you say, I need Him to come back into my life, lift up your hand too. Say, I need Him back in my life to be the Lord and Savior. God bless you. I see your hand in the back, son. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Can we do this? The international sign of surrender is hands raised up all over the house. Would you just lift up holy hands and say, God, I surrender my plan to Your plan. All over this house, if you're watching online or in this room, would you just say this with a bold, bold, loud voice? Say, dear God, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I am lost without You, but I'm found with You. Say it loud. Say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins, and I accept His forgiveness, and I accept His lordship in my life. He is my leader, and I am His. He is mine. Thank You for Your forgiveness, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise in this house. The angels are rejoicing. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life today, come and find one of these prayer partners, find one of these pastoral staff. If you're watching online, message us and we'll message you right back. But God bless you. We're going to close with this prayer and then I'll turn it over. And we'll wait just a few moments before we go into business meeting. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear God, we love You today. We love You and we worship You, God. And we know that some things in our life are beyond our control. Sometimes, God, we have difficult times adjusting to changes. That's when we need Your stability. God, help us to stop focusing on the things that do change and let us start focusing on the things that will never change. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. We accept Your love today, Jesus. Thank You for Your word. We commit to place Your word in our heart. And God, we thank You for Your purpose. Let us go hard after the reason that You have found us. Go hard after the purpose for You finding us. God, thank You for Your plan for our life. Forgive us, God, for times that we've wasted. Forgive us, God, for times that we have not been good stewards of resources and stewards of our time. God, in Jesus' name, every man, woman, and young person in this room, we open up our lives for Your lordship and Your leadership in our lives. God, come in and take control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Come on, give God praise in this house. I say we sing a happy song. What do you think? Let's sing a happy song. And in about 5 minutes, we'll go into a business meeting. God bless you.